The following is a Stick Boy We Talk production.
The following contest scheduled for one fall.
I am the man.
If you're the man, what the rock is talking. Woo! The best there is.
Welcome to the Stick Boy Podcast and the One Fall Podcast. I'm Joel Johnson, and I'm joined by Doug Winnipeg, who's back finally again. How are you, Doug?
Yeah, I'm doing all right.
So Doug, you it's been a while since we've talked. I think the last one we did was talking about SummerSlam. So now we get to the other big pay-per-view for WWE that isn't named Survivor Series, the Royal Rumble. We're on the road to WrestleMania. A lot has happened in between the time that we have talked about pro wrestling. What are your thoughts heading into 2019 and being in 2019, everything that's happened so far? Because these last couple weeks have been very busy and very chaotic. Any initial thoughts?
Let's see. I don't know. I think this is probably my favorite of the pay-per-views, so I always look forward to it. Beforehand, you kind of mentioned that it was a bit, unpredictable.
Yeah.
Normally, we generally have a good idea of what's going to happen in the last... Like, you generally know who's going to be the final four or final six. Yeah. And, you know, if you look at the card, that may not be as clear this year, so that's pretty good.
You know, it's one of those things, like, since we've talked, All Elite Wrestling is now a thing. Cody and the Bucks did not sign with WWE. They've turned down offers, and they've gone to do their own thing. And I really feel like this... I think WWE was more or less heading this way regardless, but I think they've had to step up their game even more. And as we're recording this, SmackDown is going on right now. The go-home show for the Royal Rumble this weekend. And it's just... I don't know what it is right now, but the minute All Elite Wrestling got announced, I feel like everything's changed for WWE, for pro wrestling, and just, it's either going to be really good or really bad for everyone. I can't see it being in the middle. I can see this going one way or another. Just with everything that's happened, the Rumble is now in a state where you can't guess who will win. We knew who was going to win last year, Nakamura and Asuka. They kind of baited us a bit with Roman and one of the Bellas, where you're like, oh, maybe they're going to lose, but ultimately they went with that way. And I think the last couple of years, the Rumbles almost felt like a chore to watch, because you get through the 30 guys, you get through all some of these surprises, and then you're left with the result that you expected. This is the time that I honestly don't know who's going to win, and I don't know who's headed on the road to WrestleMania, and I don't know what's going to happen with Balor and... Brock. I don't think Finn's gonna win, but we live in a world where All Elite Wrestling is putting some pressure on WWE to force them to build behind some guys that they really wouldn't get behind.
Yeah, oh yeah. I just really like, you know, the thing is, well, you know, people, they talk about like pushing new people or whatever. I think the Royal Rumble was designed just for that reason, right? Yeah. Like they, and that's kind of been the problem these past couple of years, right? They take guys who already have the, maybe the authority or whatever you want to call them. Maybe they're pushing their guy, and you know that he'll likely be in the final three or whatever. More often than not, he'll win it, or they'll pick old superstars. Not old superstars necessarily, but I mean like people like Randy Orton or John Cena, people who will win it multiple years, just because they know that these are guys are headliners and they want them to headline WrestleMania. But you know, the thing is that's not really what the Royal Rumble should be. You shouldn't be pushing mainstay headliners in at the Royal Rumble. You should be pushing guys who you want, made Carters, who you want to push to that next level, right? And since they have been doing it where they're pushing the mainstay superstars for so long, it'll feel weird if anybody outside of, you know, John Cena or whoever, or Roman Reigns, those main guys that are kind of being pushed, that have always been pushed, you know, maybe give it to somebody else, and maybe that might have something to do with the fact that All Elite Wrestling's around. You know what I mean?
Yeah, because I mean, you see it now where, like, I don't know if I've told you this, because I like to give you a little bit of wrestling news and see your reaction, but it was reported last week that the Revival and either Mike or Maria Kanellis asked for their release, and there are rumors floating around that there have been other people that have looked to get released from WWE because they know they can make more money. There's rumors that Ziggler's contract's up at the end of January, and WWE doesn't see him as a professional wrestler anymore. They see him as a producer. They don't want him wrestling anymore. He's 38. I think he's still got at least a couple years where he can go at a decent clip for you, and especially if it's a reduced schedule, then I think he can still do it in the ring when you need him to. So I think this kind of forces it where you've got to appease some of these guys, and you've got to almost, the talent kind of have you by the balls now. It's not where Vince was the only game, and the only way to make good money was to stay on Vince's good side. Now you're in a spot where there potentially is someone else out there that can offer you decent to good money, and Ring of Honor and Sinclair have reportedly opened up the checkbook and started paying guys a bit more. So because they're a little upset at All Elite Wrestling, and I think they want to kill it. I think that's going to be the biggest competition for All Elite Wrestling is Ring of Honor. But suddenly guys are getting paid, and now you're seeing guys like Finn, The Revival, Sasha. I'm trying to think of who else here suddenly. Andrade Cien Almas. I don't care that they dropped his last name and just called him Andrade. He's keeping the full name as far as I'm concerned. You're seeing these guys get pushes, and it's exciting because any of them can win now. Any of them have a chance at being at that top. I mean, I would venture a guess that Finn's not going to win, but he could. He absolutely could. If you don't want Finn Balor, Prince Devitt to leave, maybe you put the title on him so that he doesn't leave. It's a fascinating time in the world of professional wrestling in this regard, because now we're in a state where I feel like the beginnings of not necessarily Monday Night War, but a competition for talent is beginning.
Yeah, I did hear about the Revival stuff. They said, at least as far as I read, they said that they thought that WWE was underutilizing the tag team division, and so they weren't happy about that. And in all honesty, the WWE has definitely been underutilizing the tag team division, like you know, the New Day, the Bar, the Usos. Like, there's kind of, you know, there's something wrong with a professional organization as large as the WWE if the same top, if you can count on one hand how many top tag team acts there are, right?
Yeah.
And they're just not pushing new acts to the next level. I guess they kind of are. Like, they did that whole, like, what is it called? What are those guys' names?
The Major Brothers.
Sorry?
The Major Brothers.
Yeah.
Hawkins and Ryder.
Yeah, and I was also thinking about, Rowan. What are those guys?
Oh, the Bludgeon Brothers.
Bludgeon Brothers. So they are pushing these guys, but they're not, I don't know, for some reason, I just don't buy a lot of these guys that they're pushing. And sometimes it goes back to this whole thing about WWE, how sometimes they stumble upon something good, and all they have to do is just lean into it, and it works, right? But for some odd reason, they have to, and I think that's just a part of the WWE booking, is they do this contrarian booking where it's like, oh, the fans want this, well then let's do this, or, you know, the fans expect this, well let's do this, right? And it's kind of counterintuitive sometimes. Sometimes it makes sense, right? Because if you don't want the product to be too predictable.
Yeah.
But other times, like, somebody has natural heat or something, and all you have to do is put a little bit more shirts out at the table, give them, you know, a little bit of, you know, the extra match on SmackDown or whatever, right?
Yeah.
And they'll naturally grow. Either they'll grow naturally, the heat will carry them, or they won't, and they'll die out. Either way, the WWE made money on both instances, But nowadays, they do this thing where it's like, oh, this person has natural heat, but we don't want them to face off against the bar. How about we just drop him? How about we just they go on 205 Live for 8 to 10 months? And yeah. Then by the time any sort of comeback is possible, they're like, oh, yeah, the fans don't care about this act or whatever, right? Anyways, all of a sudden, the point, I get it, right? Yeah. If the Revival looks at this situation and says that they're being underutilized, I think everybody who looks at the tag team as they are now could probably say the same thing, you know? Yeah.
And I mean, one of the things that was reported by Meltzer today, that apparently one of the things that they're looking at is the Revival isn't so much demanding that they be champions. It's not them being like, well, you have to push us to the top. We have to be the top guys. It's not that. They said one of the demands that they had, and apparently the rumor is they've given WWE like 3 months to turn it around. In 3 months' time, if they don't, then they're going to ask for their release again.
Yeah.
But one of the things that they want is a strong tag team division. That's why you saw the formation of Hawkins and Ryder, which I think is smart, because it tells me that those guys, at least if these rumors are true, it tells me that these guys aren't in it for themselves. They want everything else around them to be good. And I think that's one of the things that you can do that I think is great, because it helps elevate everyone else around you. Yeah, none of these tag teams have to be lights out, but you should be able to build up tag team wrestling. And the other thing you should realize is, if you let the Revival go and they go to All Elite Wrestling, it doesn't matter how much you bury and how much you could put them in costumes, you could put you could have poop dumped on them, you could do every Vince McMahon thing to bury a guy to make them look bad. The minute the Revival go face to face with the Young Bucks, everyone's going to lose it. That's going to be a top moment. And when those two wrestle each other, when those teams wrestle each other, that's a big deal. And then it's like, oh, well, we let them go. What happened? It's just one of those things where it's like, you have something that you can naturally build off of. Just keep going with it. The Revival don't always have to win, but you have to make them look a little bit smarter.
Yeah. You know, the thing is and you know, if there is a dynamic tag team division, right, think about times past when there were a dynamic tag team division where it felt like there were like 14 separate tag teams on Raw or SmackDown, and of the 14, 12 were over with the crowd, right? Or not even in I don't even know if those were real numbers, but I just always felt like during times when the WWE was really good, it seemed that their tag team division was really good. I'm trying to think of moments, but like I guess when the Dudleys, the Hardys, the Edge and Christian, yeah, like when they were firing on all cylinders, like we remember those tag teams, but there was a whole slew of other tag teams that they faced off against every other week, right?
Yeah.
And they had some of these dynamic stables. And think about a lot of those stables during that time, they produced legit superstars, single superstars later on, right? And I just feel like, see, WWE, the reason why I always think, I think that the All Elite stuff is good is because for a very long time, WWE didn't feel the need to invest in certain aspects of their business. And so as the years went by, they atrophied, right? And I'm thinking about, you know, the tag team divisions and things like that, right? Not necessarily the women's division. The WWE has actually done an excellent job pushing the women's division. But there's so much of their business that just isn't what it used to be, or isn't what it could be.
Yeah.
And I think hopefully the All Elite Wrestling does this thing where it wakes them up and says, okay, guys, there's a contender coming in, another billion-dollar name with people who can book, building a new dynamic wrestling promotion. You know, what are we going to do about it, right?
Yeah.
Because I'll tell you right now, the WWE never once feared Ring of Honor. They never once feared New Japan, I guess in a direct way.
Yeah.
But maybe All Elite Wrestling could be that,
yeah,
that next level that makes the Vince and Triple H or whoever is in charge say, okay, maybe we have to re-examine what we're investing in this company. So.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, absolutely. And you look at it. You look at how Raw and SmackDown are now booked. It's lightning quick now. You go from one segment to the next. Everything has a purpose now, for good or bad. Some segments have been a little meh, but there's still been some segments that have absolutely hit home and absolutely been a big point at helping establish either new guys or establish new storylines. Like, you look, Drew McIntyre looks like a killer right now, and I think he's one of the guys that could easily win the Rumble. Another team that's starting to look good, and it ties into our conversation about tag team wrestling, is Heavy Machinery. They were an all right act in NXT. Like, they'd get a reaction from the crowd, but you know they would never go all the way. You knew that they would never going to win the big title, yeah, the tag team titles. But you listen to that reaction that they got last night, and you're like, I'm sports entertained by these guys. This is what we want, because you can have the tag team like the Revival that are straight up great tag team wrestling, but you also need to have guys like Otis and Tucker Knight play a big role in helping build other facets of the tag team division up. And I think having a guy like Otis is really smart, because you said it, you had said it best, is tag teams help build these single stars. I don't think Edge would have ever gotten to the point he would have without his tag team. Same with Matt and Jeff Hardy, and the Dudleys were always tag team specialists, but the one that really broke out was Bully Ray. His stuff in Ring of Honor and particularly in Impact were really good. So it's just another example of tag team wrestling that has built up single stars for you. And I don't know what's going to happen, but Otis is getting a good reaction. That's something that you monitor and you go, you know what? Maybe this is what some of the other tag teams that have been popular but have fizzled out, maybe this is something that's a little more sustainable for us, and we need to be careful with it and help make it sustainable. Any other tag teams that you think really could stand out or could use a little bit of a push forward?
I did like that they called up Heavy Machinery. I guess it's so strange, because you know when, because they did that whole like, oh, five people are coming up to WWE from NXT, and so everybody's like Velveteen Dream or Gargano, you know what I mean? They're all freaking out. But I'm glad they brought those guys up, because in all honesty, I like them in NXT. I thought they had this, they had that, I don't even know how to describe it, but kind of like the fat slob sort of thing. You're never sure how. That's another thing about WWE is it's so unpredictable a lot of the time, right? Sometimes things that you think are going to be the next level, the next big hit, are fizzle outs. Other times, you know, things latch on with the crowd, right? You never really know. But for the thing is I think the fans are just generally hungry for new acts to come in.
Yeah.
Right? New acts to come in and to make those make a difference, or add that next layer, right? Because you can only watch, it's kind of like John Cena and Randy Orton, you can only watch so many John Cena and Randy Orton's matches before you're just like, I do not care about this match. Even if you're like, you know, even if John Cena had the SmackDown belt and Randy Orton had the Universal belt, I wouldn't care about that match.
Yeah.
Like, it would be so hard for me to be like, okay, yeah, whatever, I'm going to go, do something else while this match is happening, right? And same with the Bar and the Usos and stuff like that. They're great tag teams, but you can't, oversaturation, right?
Yep.
And so you have to push, in order for this, to get out of this atrophy tag team division, you have to start pushing some of these guys, right? You have to start giving them that, exposure, helping them along. And that's another thing too, is, and it goes back to what I said earlier, like sometimes guys just get natural heat, and it blows my mind how often WWE doesn't lean into it. Sometimes it's the easiest thing in the world to promote somebody who already has the crowd behind them. All you have to do is just nudge them, and you're just like, I'm thinking about like a team like, when the B team started and everybody was doing the whole B team stuff, right?
Yeah.
Like, in all honesty, nobody thought the Miz Taraj were ever going to do anything without the Miz, right?
Yeah.
And then the fact there's just like this lovable kookiness about them that, and I'm not saying that they're like the answer to the tag team division, but there needs to be more things like that, and they need to do it sustainably so that they're pushing these guys long term, right?
Yeah.
I don't know.
I think it's absolutely, you look at it, and you almost have to gauge based on talent and go, okay, who's getting a reaction from the crowd? Who do we need to get a reaction from the crowd? How do we do that? Well, we have 70 years of promotion experience behind us, so let's start figuring it out and starting to build on just the history that we know of what works and what doesn't, and start building these guys up, because you're absolutely right. We all have the attention of a goldfish. Like, the amount of times I have looked around this room just because I'm like, ooh, shiny, 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 is very real, and it's very, very much what people, same thing with wrestling, people are looking for the next shiny little object that they can latch onto, and that's why I think the Bucks and Cody have worked so well. I don't think they're necessarily a shiny object. They know how to attract the shiny. They know how to keep that shiny object shining at different points and being like, ooh, new shiny object, new shiny object, new shiny object, and people gravitate towards that, and they've done a very good job of that. And I think WWE has missed the mark on the shiny object thing, because their shiny object doesn't line up with what the audience's shiny object is. So it's figuring that out and helping to build things up, because look at, I don't know if you've ever seen Being the Elite. It's the Bucks and Cody's YouTube show. One of the guys that they announced for All Elite Wrestling they signed is this MJF. And he, initially when you look at him and when he wrestles, you kind of were like, oh, he's a Miz ripoff. He's kind of like a Miz. But what they've been able to do in Being the Elite and build him up, you're suddenly like, I'm interested in this character. And he's only appeared, I think, 2 or 3 times on BTE. And now they've, in 3 YouTube episodes, they've already established who he is, what his gimmick is, and you don't like him. And I think he's going to be a decent star for them. I don't know how big he's going to get, but at the same time, he's generated my interest. I'm like, ooh, I'm interested to see what his next segment is, because he's playing this. Cody will introduce him to different people. Oh, this is my new protege, MJF. We're going to be working together on stuff, and I want to introduce him. And then when Cody leaves, this guy acts like a dick. And then when Cody comes back, he's like, oh, it's so nice to meet these guys, I'm such a big fan. And then Cody leaves again, and he acts like a dick to them again. And it's just such a simple, easy thing. And I'm like, holy crap, this is working. This guy is getting over. And it's such an easy, simple thing to do. And it's where you'd think like a machine like WWE would be able to figure it out and be like, oh, we need to get these guys over. So let's start getting these guys over. You look at how much they post on YouTube. They should have a YouTube show like BTE, or they should have something where they're getting guys over on YouTube or giving these guys permission to just get themselves over. Because these guys are creative enough that the good ones are going to get themselves over.
Yeah.
And that's a missed mark.
You know, and that's the thing too is, and we talked a little bit about how, you know, it seemed that, you know, all of these tag teams in years past have always launched the careers of single wrestlers later on, right? And that's the thing about stables and tag teams. You know, you have two guys that you think these two guys could mesh, these two guys could headline a SummerSlam or a Royal Rumble or, you know, Clash of Champions or whatever it is, right? But eventually one of the two, at least how it tends to work, is that the better of the two
is the Shawn and the other one's the Jannetty.
Yeah, exactly, right? And that's the thing. You know, WWE doesn't, sometimes I don't think they play to certain people's strengths as well. So I think sometimes they look at somebody and say, this is what this person is, and this is what this person is, right? And see, the thing is that's the worst part of the business, and it breeds, and I keep using this term, but it's how I describe the WWE at this point, it atrophies, right? And it's kind of like WCW, right? At one point they were the hottest product, but they atrophied. Yeah. because guys like Chris Jericho, guys like Rey Mysterio, Dean Malenko, the best wrestlers on their in their entire promotion, and arguably one of the best wrestlers of all time, were sitting in the first card, right? And nobody cared about them. They'd have the match of the night as the first match of the night, and then they'd have some NWO, and then they'd have a Wolfpack thing, and then Goldberg would come out and spear somebody, and Diamond Dallas Page would be facing off against Ric Flair or something, right? Like, it just seemed like that was their product. That was Monday Night Nitro, and that was Thunder wrapped up every week for like 2 or 3 years. Like, it's like the best match of the night, Chris Jericho, Chris Benoit, I can't think of any of the names, but they would have this amazing match, the best match of the night, and then NWO, DDP, Ric Flair, and Goldberg would do something, right?
Yeah.
And that was their promotion. You could book it. I could come up with a fake booking right now. That's how predictable it got. That's how much it atrophied. And you saw that at the same time, WWE was pushing all of these young guys.
Yeah.
That they got to the point where they were, oh my goodness, we're going to lose our business. This legacy of decades is going to fall through our fingers. And all of a sudden, they're pushing guys like Stone Cold, guys like Farouk and The Rock and the Nation of Domination. They have the DX guys. We look at Triple H as being 100% over now. He's basically running the company and some portions of it. But back then, Triple H was nothing. People didn't look Triple H as the main. People looked at him as almost a laughingstock sometimes, right?
Yeah.
And you saw guys like Road Dogg and X-Pac and 1-2-3 Kid or whatever, right? Like, all these guys were playing second fiddle to people like Hulk Hogan and, I'm trying to think of other names, but just tons and tons of that Macho Man.
Yeah.
Right, Ultimate Warrior, like just tons of these guys were all doing this stuff, and they moved on to WCW. They had their big promotions, and then on the other side, WWE was saying to themselves, we need to push some of these guys. And yeah, a lot of these guys that they ended up pushing, Jericho jumped over eventually, and he was pushed. All of those guys made it to that next level, and some of these guys even made it to the next level above that, and made it to that superstar level that so few wrestlers ever make it to, right? And I don't know.
You're absolutely right. You look at a current WWE product before they've tweaked things, and there's no guarantee that this is a long-term solution. We've had it where WWE has been like, oh, we're changing, we're going to be doing things differently, and then it all goes back to normal. And I think if they went back to normal, that's a mistake. Because I will say this, no other company will put WWE out of business. All Elite Wrestling won't, Ring of Honor won't, New Japan won't. None of them will be able to be that nail in Vince's coffin. The only person that can put that nail in the coffin is Vince McMahon himself. And if they dare go back to the way things used to be, and continue to push guys that they shouldn't, and rejecting what the fans want because they somehow believe that they're smarter than the fans and know what the fans want, I think that that would be the nail in your coffin. Fox is already getting a little nervous about the deal because the ratings haven't been great. Obviously, if they start kind of turning things around, then obviously that might change things. But Fox is already a little nervous about things. And I'm wondering what that's going to mean, because that's a massive, massive money deal for Vince. That's huge. And if they somehow boggle the Fox deal and screw themselves over, where Fox is like, yeah, no, we don't want anything to do with you, that's on their hands. And that's when something like All Elite Wrestling can pounce and be like, well, they might suck at it, but we can actually do a decent job, depending on what their product looks like. So we haven't seen what the All Elite Wrestling product's going to look like.
Yeah.
But at the same time, you can't sit there and think that you're safe resting on your laurels. And I think WWE needs to be fresh and needs to take a chance on things. What do you think, Doug? You think that do you think All Elite Wrestling or any other wrestling promotion could be the nail in Vince's coffin?
No, I think you're right. I don't think, it's one of those that term is too big to fail, right? I think if a situation ever arose where WWE was really hurting, they would simply just be bought out.
Yeah.
Because the name brand of WWE is second to none. And in many ways, even if All Elite Wrestling hits the ground running and becomes the product we all hope it might be, even so, the WWE brand name is still, like, next level, right? Like, yeah. It's really, and that's another thing, too, is that there's no reason WWE should ever have to be looking over their shoulder at competition. They're so big that they don't, they should have the best talent, bar none. Yeah. They should have the best storylines. They should have the best writers. They should have the best promotions. They should have the best sets. They should wrestle in the best stadiums. And in many ways, they do have a lot of those things. But, like, see, the thing is, they should have... Like, why are some of the WWE stories so crappy, right? Why is some of their production stuff so crappy? Like, you're watching a Raw, and the camera work is just terrible. Why do you look at camera work like that and think, hey, this is acceptable for the best product in the world, right? Like WWE is the NFL, and everything else is the Arena League football system, or the CFL.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, WWE is the NBA, and everything else is the,
the D-League.
The D-Leagues and stuff, right? Like, it doesn't make sense sometimes how much their product isn't as good as it should be. And as I said, like you expect in the NHL and you expect in all of those big leagues to have the best talent. There should be no reason why a team like the Young Bucks and like Kenny Omega, there should be no reason why they're looking anywhere else. WWE should be such a good product that guys like that should spend the rest of their lives hoping that they're in the WWE. And when they get the chance, not have a second thought to take it, right? Yeah. But that's just not how WWE is, and something's wrong with that picture.
Yeah.
Right?
No.
Something's wrong when the NBA, when people are losing superstars of the NBA to the D-League. Well, you know, Kevin Durant gets picked up, and he's just like, yeah, I'm going to go play in the D-League because, you know, it's better for me, right?
Yeah.
It just doesn't make sense. It bothers me almost.
You're absolutely right. All Elite Wrestling should be, oh, that's nice and cute, but WWE is the end all to be all. And it's not. And I think it comes from the top up. And you're absolutely right. The fact that, like, there was a part of me that wanted the Bucks, Kenny and Cody, to go to WWE because it's easier for me to see them. And I feel like there'll be a bunch of matches that they can do. Maybe they can have great product with these guys around because they'll have pushback and be like, no, we can't do, we're not putting on chicken suits. Why would we ever do something like that? This is a wrestling promotion. Stop it. Though maybe somehow, some way a chicken suit can get over. You look at last night, Monday Night Raw with Finn. Finn didn't get the pin on Braun. He probably should have got the pin on Braun, but I have a funny feeling it's Braun and Brock at Mania. I could be wrong on that. But Finn looked like $1 million. He goes from smiling, happy-go-lucky Finn Balor, I'm just happy to be here, to now being a guy that could legitimately take out Brock Lesnar. Does he do it? Probably not. But you have that little thought of like, well, Brock did stand tall on Monday night, and usually that's usually a hint that maybe Brock's gonna lose. And if Brock loses the title to Finn, then where the hell are they going with Mania? Like, I saw what Finn Prince Devitt did in New Japan and on the Indies with his gimmick, with the painting and just this almost like gangster mafia type guy that Prince Devitt, and just him forming the Bullet Club. And just, like, this guy got over. There's a reason why WWE wanted him. There's a reason why they went after him. And there's one of the reasons he was touted as one of the big signings. was because of what he did by himself. And you think, well, if this is what this guy can do by himself, well, then when Vince McMahon and WWE get their hands on him, they're going to be able to take him to the moon. What do? They don't take him to the moon. They're like, oh, he got hurt once, so we can't push him anymore. We're scared that we can't strap the rocket to him. And I mean, you look at the product and it's like, at what point? This is a thing, like you said, it's unacceptable that WWE is in the position that they're in. Like, they should be the best, and I think the fans should be demanding the best from them. Like, you've seen pictures of the attendance and what it looks like.
Yeah.
Like, it looks bad, and it's like, you, like, here's an example, and then we'll talk a little bit more about the Rumble, Daniel Bryan comes back, and everyone's excited. It's big news. It's one of the top threads on Reddit that Bryan's been cleared, and you have this story of Bryan coming back. This is all he's wanted to do, was wrestle, and he's got this chance again, and he wrestles Big Cass, and he wrestles The Miz, and everything that you have him do is subpar. And then when he turns heel, everyone's like, ew, this isn't going to work. And because Bryan is as talented as Daniel Bryan is, and because Bryan, I feel like this is more Bryan just going out and saying and doing whatever he wants. Not like 100%, but there's a degree of Bryan's like, this is what I'm doing tonight.
Yeah.
And this is the way it is. You've seen a change. Bryan's one of the hottest acts in wrestling again.
Yeah.
And he's a heel. Who would have imagined the guy that had the whole, I don't know the stadium in New Orleans, but WrestleMania 30, the end, everyone doing the yes chant and celebrating win the title, and now he's hated. He's absolutely hated, and it's not because the machine got behind him. I feel like a big chunk of it was done by himself.
I agree. And like I mentioned earlier, that sometimes they just... I think that they put somebody in a certain bracket, right? Like they must have a bracket system in the WWE where they say, okay, these guys will be here and they will never get past mid card, right? And these guys are mid cards and they'll never get past here, right? And then you see these guys who do, 30 years as jobbers, right? And some of them, in all honesty, they deserve it because they're just not talented enough to be there, right? But then there are guys that you look at them and they ooze talent at every chance they get. Like you see a guy like Cody, right? Cody, he comes into the WWE. I don't remember what his is, but I just remember they had that the whole legacy stuff.
Yeah.
And then he had doing some singles run, but it never really felt like Cody was ever being utilized in a way that was like, this guy could be the next thing, right?
Yeah.
And then By the end of his time in the WWE, they had him doing the whole Stardust stuff with his brother. It just felt like WWE had completely given up on this guy, right? They just threw up their hands and said, okay, so this guy will never be anything more than, a mid-carder, right? Maybe he'll be a mid-carder to the stars, but he'll never be the guy, right? And then you see guys, and it's kind of like the Drew McIntyre effect. It's kind of, you see that a lot. You see that more and more often, where these guys who are being underutilized in the WWE, they go somewhere else. And you said the whole Prince David thing, right? You see these guys make their own path and get to that level by themselves. And then you say, why didn't this work in the WWE, right?
Yeah.
And it's kind of like, and what you're saying about Daniel Bryan, it's kind of the exact same thing. It's like, that whole yes stuff that was happening at the Superdome in New Orleans, right? You're just like, man, all WWE has to do is just give him a nudge in the right direction, and he'll be selling more shirts than anybody ever.
Yeah.
Didn't happen. And then he comes back. Biggest pop I've heard in a long time in SmackDown when he takes on Sammy and Owens, right?
Yeah.
Nothing really amounted to it, right? Over the course of the next 5 months, they did everything they could to slow down the natural heat. And that's another thing, is at that point, just give Daniel Bryan a nudge, right? And now they make him a heel, and now he's just getting this like crazy heel heat, and now all they have to do is just give him a nudge, and I feel like they're gonna, you know, they're gonna like
let the air out of it.
I don't know. See, that's what I mean. Is sometimes I feel like WWE just doesn't, and sometimes, and we're a fickle crowd.
Oh yeah.
Right? Of course. But the thing is if we're fickle about something, it will die off naturally.
Yeah.
Like there's a wave of support for some guy. Is he stone cold? Is the sky the limit, or is he whoever and it's gonna die off in 6 weeks? We don't know. But you should just lean into it. Just let it go. Just feel like, let's see how long this SM movement can go before it gets stale. And once it gets stale, figure something out, right?
Yeah.
Or have a plan to make it not stale, right? I just, it bothers me. It bothers me that this has been such a problem in WWE for so long, right?
Well, you look at it where I remember Brett in his book talking about the difference between WWF and WCW. And in WWF, they had everything planned out 6 months in advance. 6 months in advance, they had the writing team and they had Vince basically having a plan for who was going where and what the plans were. And obviously plans will change when injuries or anything happen.
Yeah.
Or someone else gets hot and they're like, ooh, let's cash in on that.
Yeah.
But now they fly by the seat of their pants. Like they have no idea. The reason we don't know who's winning the Rumble is because I don't think anyone fully knows who's winning the Rumble.
Yeah.
I think Vince probably has a good idea, but there is no set plan. And we've seen it where you can't tell a story going, well, I think this is... okay, well, let's try this and see what happens. We'll write a couple pages. Oh, no, we'll tweak this and change this. It doesn't work that way. And I think that's why... now hopefully we see some more consistent storytelling. And one of the things, like, we talk about, we kick WWE a lot, but when you look at NXT, that simple, easy storytelling, there's nothing complex to anything they're doing. It's just, oh, Johnny Gargano hates Tommaso Ciampa, and Tommaso Ciampa hates Johnny Gargano.
Yeah.
Tommaso Ciampa hates Johnny Gargano because he was going to replace him. Easy, simple. And Johnny hates Ciampa because he betrayed him.
Yeah.
Let's see where this story goes. And we're probably going to get the culmination of that story at NXT New York when Johnny beats Tommaso for the title.
Yeah.
And that'll be the final thing for that story arc. Johnny will finally redeem himself and Ciampa will be vanquished.
Yeah.
Velveteen Dream. And like his feud with Black. All he wanted Black to do was say his name. And Dream lost, but Black still said his name. Like, it's such Matt Riddle versus Cassius Ohno. I don't like the new shiny toys. I should be the shiny toy that you're pushing.
Yeah.
And Riddle comes in being bro, all relaxed and chill, and you're like, I don't like you because you're all relaxed and chill and you're going to get what I should get.
Yeah.
Simple, easy. You can tell what the feud is in a single sentence.
Yeah.
You don't need long, drawn-out stories.
Yeah.
Look at Brian and AJ. Brian cheated to win. AJ wants his title back.
Yeah.
Simple and easy.
Yeah. No, that's another thing about NXT has been what WWE should be, right? And you know, the Johnny Gargano and Ciampa stuff has been so good that I almost wish it was that they had built it on in WrestleMania or on the main card, right? That's another thing too, is I feel like there should be a quicker way from somebody to like if you're getting if because there are some guys, like, I honestly think Velveteen Dream could slide into the main roster today.
Well, it's funny you mentioned that. He's apparently making a big push because you remember Lars Sullivan.
Yeah.
So Lars Sullivan was supposed to face Cena. Lars Sullivan was supposed to take Cena out two weeks ago, injure him, and then that would be Cena's program heading into Mania. But between are you up to date on some of the stuff that have come out about Lars?
Maybe not completely up to date, but I kind of have an idea of what's going on.
with the bodybuilder's form and some of the things he said.
Yeah.
And then he was set booked to debut on Monday Night Raw. He had a panic attack and went back to Colorado, and the company was fine with it.
Yeah.
And then now he's not returning their calls. He's not answering his phone. They don't have any idea where he is or what's going on. So now you're in a situation where it's like, okay, well, we need to find the next guy to face Cena.
Yeah.
The feeling is it's probably going to be Drew and Cena at Mania, but Drew could win the Rumble. The other feeling is there's some talks of maybe EC3 versus Cena at Mania, because just why not? I think that would be fun. But the other name rumored is Velveteen. And I think, because Cena's not going to be there as often, I feel like Velveteen's promos could carry the feud. And it could be that new guard versus the old guard. And you have that clip of Cena saying that he thinks that Velveteen has a bright future.
Yeah. I honestly, everything that I know of Velveteen Dream, every time I see the guy, I just think to myself, this guy has all the tools that he needs to be the superstar that the WWE needs, right? Like that. I see this guy. He cuts master promos. And then on top of that, he's great in ring. Like, he has some excellent in ring work, right? And then I just see a guy like this, right? And if you slotted him into the main roster and you gave him, like, just like if he was against Drew McIntyre today, I can already tell that he can build a storyline worth watching. Or Ziggler. If he was against Ziggler, imagine a Ziggler Velveteen Dream feud, right? Like, I feel like both of those guys together could put on something worth watching, right? Like, I can say that about most people, right?
Yeah.
I don't know. But John Cena's probably going to win the Rumble anyways. So.
Yeah.
Or he's hurt or something, right? Isn't he?
Well, that's storyline. He's not actually hurt. So he was never supposed to be in the Rumble,
but because
that was supposed to be the build.
Okay. I just saw something said the other day that he was hurt, and I'm like, oh well, sucks to be him.
Yeah,
he's probably gonna be like, I'm hurt, but I'm still gonna go from first. I'm gonna break Benoit's record. That's what they're building to right now. So.
And he's gonna say that. He's gonna just come out and outright say that he's gonna break Benoit's record. I don't know if Benoit still holds the record. I think Vince probably made it his mission to make sure any records Benoit has is dead in the water.
Yeah, no, it's true. I don't know. I don't know anymore. But the you know who should win though?
Who should win?
I don't know actually. You know what they should do? All Black Final Four. Lashley, Kofi, Big E, and R-Truth. That's what they should do.
Well, R-Truth is entering 30, so he very well could be the shocking point in the Rumble where he wins it all. This could be R-Truth's big year, finally.
You know what they should do is they should have all four of those guys in the final, and then just have, like, you know, an all-black person, and he wins it all. So there you go. That's how you book it.
Yeah.
And it builds to WrestleMania. I don't even know what I'm talking about anymore.
You probably could. I mean, Big E is probably a guy that you could easily push to the moon. Like, the fact that you haven't figured out that the New Day doesn't necessarily have to go for the tag team titles. They can just be they can support one guy. Kofi should be a guy that should be a world champion at some point.
And in all honesty, they can just what's the term? They can do the whole thing that my brain's blanking on the Evolution.
Evolution. Oh.
They can do like a whole Evolution thing. Like, I think it was like Armageddon 99 or something, where they won all of the tag team, the Intercontinental, you know what I mean, right?
Yeah.
You could do that with the New Day. Maybe give two of the guys the tag team title, and then have one of them have the main title, right?
Yeah.
And that's the thing about the New Day is the New Day is such a good stable, a good tag, like group, that a lot of the ways that we think of, we're always expecting when two guys get over and they're together for a long time, we're always expecting a Rocker's Marty Jannetty HBK moment, right?
When Jannetty tried to jump through the window because he was terrified.
You see that? He tried to jump through the window? No, but, we're always expecting that from groups, but the New Day seems to be skirting all the rules that we've traditionally had for wrestling stables, right? And I feel like I agree with you. I think they're great. They're greater than the sum of their parts, but I think they could be great single wrestlers in general, right? And you don't have to have I don't know. I'm just trying to imagine how this stuff goes, right? And that's another thing too, is by having each of them represent as singles, then you could start facing them off against singles, right? Like imagine going back to Velveteen Dream. Imagine having a Velveteen Dream versus the New Day match. I don't know how that would look, but I feel like it could be pushed into something worth watching, right?
Oh yeah. Like you could see you see guys and you're like, I can just imagine what promos you can cut and what you can do.
Yeah.
But the biggest question is, before you imagine all of this, and this includes, like, if Kenny the Bucks and Cody, you can imagine what it would be like for them to be in WWE, but will they actually do right?
Yeah.
And the I feel like the answer is a no, a big old no. But let's shift gears. Let's get to the two big cards on the weekend. We got NXT TakeOver. I'm just going to ask your thoughts on who could win and what do you expect from the match. First match is Matt Riddle versus Cassius Ohno. Who do you think gets the win here?
I think Matt Riddle might win. I don't really have a reason for saying that, but you know, at this point, if you book it correctly, it's a win for both of them, right? And you could have this thing where Matt Riddle wins, or even if Matt Riddle puts on a good show and still loses, you can still have that whole like, I respect you more now situation, right?
Yeah.
So, but I would say just spitball and probably Matt Riddle, I guess.
I'm going to be different. I think because Riddle got the win on the last takeover with the
right.
30 seconds, I think Ohno is going to win. And then they'll have a rubber match at NXT TakeOver New York. The next match on this list is probably could be a five-star classic match. I think both these guys have the ability to do it. It is for the NXT North American Championship. Ricochet defends against Johnny Gargano. Does Johnny win the title?
I wouldn't. If I was booking Gargano, I would. See, this is another thing too, and this goes back to booking, right? You know, and I 100% agree with you. I think the WWE barely has an idea of what's going to happen on the next Raw, much less what's going to happen 6 to 10 months from now, right? But a guy like Johnny Gargano, I would just keep having it so that he never reaches that level until he's in the main roster, if he ever gets to the main roster. That's another discussion. But if he's in the main roster and he's chasing and it always seems like he gets so close to the title and never gets it, that may be a push that people can get behind, right? So on all honesty, at this point, I'm just like hoping he doesn't get it, but that's just me thinking to myself that I imagine that if he ever got to the main roster and he was facing off for the world champion, that might be a reason for people to cheer for him, right?
Yeah.
And since he is, I guess he was kind of like had an edge to him for recently, but he's always kind of had that baby face thing going on.
Yeah.
That might be a baby face way to get him to the top of top of the heap or whatever, right?
Yeah, and I think I agree. I think Ricochet's going to retain here because I think they're big things in Ricochet's future. I think he's going to have a nice long run with the title. But I think this is a match to absolutely tune in and watch because I think it'll be a great match. Another great match that I think we'll see, and they've been a really strong tag team, Undisputed Era, O'Reilly and Strong defending the tag team titles against War Raiders, Hanson and Rowan. I think this will be a really good match. Undisputed, we talk about tag team wrestling, and Undisputed Era has been amazing at tag team wrestling.
Yeah.
So I think that these guys can absolutely have a great match, and I think that this is the time where War Raiders win.
Yeah, I think so too. You know, in all honesty, it's been I'm trying to think of the term, like 36 months. Maybe I'm making those up, but it's been a long time since NXT has done anything that sucked, right? Like, yeah. It just seems that consistently they're good, and that's really how pay-per-view should be. Like every pay-per-view should be like a wow, right? And that's what NXT is. Every pay-per-view, it's like a wow, right? It doesn't matter who's facing off. It's just good. Good wrestling. Right?
I absolutely agree. Next match, this is a little bit of a different match. This is the first time Bianca Belair is going for the NXT Women's title, and he is taking on one of the four horsewomen, Shayna Baszler. Is Baszler's second reign over, or is Belair going to take her first loss?
I would say... That one I'm not sure about, but, they're kind of booking Baszler as, like, as an unstoppable force kind of thing, right? You can't really be an unstoppable force if you lose, right?
Yeah.
So maybe I think she might win.
I don't know. I could see Baszler retaining, and then I think if she's going to lose it, it's going to be at, it'll be in NXT New York, big show, and then she'll go on to the main roster to help Ronda. And then the new crop of women will rise up in NXT. Final match, main event, big match. The last time they wrestled, this Black lost the title.
Yeah.
Tommaso Ciampa, Aleister Black, NXT Championship. Who leaves Phoenix as the NXT champion?
I would have it. Well. Just as this is a storyline thing, and if you're gonna do the whole Gargano beats Ciampa at the at TakeOver for WrestleMania, I would say that Ciampa wins, right? And so that way you can build that whole thing where Johnny Gargano gets another shot at the big title and stuff like that. That's what makes sense to me if you're gonna go that direction. Honestly, I think, that's what I'm going for. But I like Black. I think he does some great work. I guess you can book him both ways. I don't know. I'm trying to push it any further, but yeah, that's basically what I think.
Yeah, no, I think Ciampa retains here, but I think that overall this is going to be a fun match. I think this whole card looks good, but this is funny because oftentimes we're like, that's the best card of the weekend, the other card's going to suck, but I think this is the one time that the main roster has a chance to beat the NXT card. And going through, we've got Rusev defending the title against Shinsuke Nakamura, a U.S. title. Rusev retains, maybe?
Yeah. I would say so. Seeing this is another problem, this is a systemic problem, is, like, you should be giving these guys both something to do, right? Like, it just doesn't feel like... I don't know. Whoever, right? Whoever wins, Rusev wins, great. Shinsuke wins, great, right?
Yeah. Like, it's... next match on the card is for the NXT, not the NXT, blah, the WWE SmackDown Tag Team Champions in a tag team match. The Bar defends against The Miz and Shane McMahon. As you can tell, I am over the moon about this match.
Actually, the one I'm most excited for. So
this is what's gonna get you up to watch Royal Rumble.
I wasn't gonna watch it until they announced this match. So I was like, no, but it's just one of those things. It's kind of like, well, even like Survivor Series with the whole Shane like stuff and
Crown Jewel.
Yeah. Oh, like, sorry, Crown Jewel. That's what I'm thinking. Crown Jewel winning when Shane won like the world
test in the world.
You're just like one of those things where as a fan you just throw up your hands. Like, I think when I heard that, I physically threw up my hands and I was like, I cannot believe that. Like, and that whole thing was a farce anyway, is because you're like, so out of the 14 combatants, 13 of them are American or something like that, you know what I mean, right? Like, it's just kind of like, so I don't know. I'm kind of, if Shane didn't wrestle for a while, I'd be okay with that. Miz, I've always liked The Miz. Wimby Man, not always. There's a point when I didn't like The Miz, but overall, I've always respected him because he's so good, right? And the Bar, again, the Bar headlining, you know, the fine, right? That sort of thing. But I'd say probably The Miz and Shane McMahon are probably going to win.
I'm going to agree with you. I think that they're going to do it, and we will all just kind of move on with our lives. And speaking of moving on, we got a series of really good matches here. Like there's a nice chunk of good matches that are coming up. First one I'll go through is Ronda Rousey defends the Raw Women's Championship against Sasha Banks. Sasha Banks feels like refreshed, feels a little bit like you're reminded of why so many people like Sasha.
Yeah.
Ronda should not cut a live promo backstage before her match. That did not go that well, but I still think that these two are probably going to have a really, really good women's match. Yeah. And I think I can't see Ronda losing here.
Yeah.
Unless you think Sasha's leaving, which I don't think will happen. But I think that you keep the title on Ronda, or unless you're going to have Ronda jump to SmackDown and have her surprise enter the Rumble. It's the only way it works. But you got to get to the Ronda, Becky, yeah, Charlotte match. But I think that Ronda retains here.
Yeah, honestly, that's the main goal. We know that Ronda and Becky are going to face off. And really, there's only one way to do it. One of them has to win the Royal Rumble, and the other one has to have a title, right?
Yeah.
So if, I guess, in the crazy scenario that Sasha does win, that basically guarantees that... I don't know. It'd be so weird to do that anyways.
Yeah.
So I'm definitely just looking at it like Ronda, it just makes sense on every level. But I agree with you. You know, Sasha, she kind of went through, like a lot of wrestlers do this, they go through that no man's land or no woman's land where they're not really doing anything. You're not excited about them, but they're still like, they still show up every week sort of thing. And, you know, I'm glad that she's kind of getting out of that. She has a little bit of traction behind her now, and you know, hopefully this keeps going past. Like, if she disappears after Royal Rumble has to come out, it's going to be another
misstep
for WWE.
Next match on the card, another potentially really good match, is the WWE SmackDown Women's Championship. We've got Asuka defending against the man, Becky Lynch. I think Asuka's heading into Mania as champion. I think that she's gonna walk in as champion. I don't know if she'll walk out of Mania as champion, but I don't think the man is gonna get a victory tonight.
Yeah, no, I agree. It just makes sense, as I said. One of them, I guess you can also write a storyline where they're both champions. Like, one's a SmackDown champion, one's the Raw champion. Well, but at the same time, that's kind of, it convolutes a lot of things, because then you have to worry about whoever wins the Royal Rumble, who are they facing off against, right?
Yeah.
So yeah, I doubt if if Ronda somehow loses, I think Becky will probably win, vice versa, right?
Yeah.
So I think Asuka does go into at least into
Elimination Chamber.
Yeah. Yeah, that's the thing too, is we always kind of forget about all of these B level, where it's like, I guess Asuka could probably lose the title to, you know, whoever.
To Mandy Rose.
Yeah, she should just, like, to Logan. She loses to Sarah Logan, and you're like, oh my goodness,
how did this happen? Yeah. What's going on, Vince? And Vince just sits in the back, laughs.
Yeah.
Next match is a singles match for the WWE Championship. He has competed 3 years, 3 or 4 years in a row. This will be the fourth year in a row that AJ Styles is in the match for the WWE Championship, because the Rumble he debuted in was for the WWE Championship. He then faced Cena the next year. Then he defended against KO and Sammy, and now he is challenging. 4 years in a row, this man has been going for the WWE Championship as he faces the new Daniel Bryan. Is this the end of the new Daniel Bryan, or is AJ going to be going on to something else, Mania-wise?
I think you should, as I said, I think you should just lean into whatever's happened with Daniel Bryan. And actually, at this point, he could lose it, and you'd still be excited about what he's doing. So I would keep it on Daniel Bryan. but at the same time, if he lost it, I can see storylines that kind of break him back into the picture, right?
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah, no, yeah. I think so.
Yeah, I would agree. I think Bryan retains here and goes on to Mania as champion, which is crazy to think, because a year ago he wouldn't be... You wouldn't think that this would even be possible.
Yeah.
Next up on the card is a little bit... I think it'll be a good match, but it'll probably be one of those quick matches. It is a fatal four-way for the WWE Cruiserweight Champion. Buddy Murphy defends against Tozawa, Hideo Itami, and Kalisto. Is Buddy Murphy's reign in danger, or is he going to keep rolling with the title? Because me personally, I'd put the title on Hideo, especially after that Bryan promo that Bryan cut on Hideo. I feel like you could build him back up, and you could absolutely have an absolute killer 20-minute match with Hideo taking on Bryan.
Yeah, I could agree with that. I'm kind of ambivalent to whoever wins this. Also, too, this is a massive card. Like, how long are these Royal Rumbles going to be? Like, 9 minutes long? Like,
I know, and we haven't even got to the last singles match before we get to the Rumbles either.
And this is the problem too, because like it's great. Like, the Royal Rumble should be, especially now with the Women's Royal Rumble, Men's Royal Rumble, or however you book it, title matches. And then maybe one other match, right? But it gets, like, when it gets really long, now you're like, well, I guess it's starting at 5, and this is what I'm doing until midnight, right?
Yeah.
Like, it's... I don't know. I'm just throwing that out there, but...
Yeah, WWE owns your life for 8 hours. It's a job now. A final singles match. This is not the original advertised singles match. This is new, and it's going to be interesting to see how the end result of this. It is for the Universal title... Brock Lesnar, Finn Balor.
Yeah.
Brock asked to work with Finn. I think Brock's tired of working with big men like Braun and wants to work with little guys like AJ, like Bryan, and now Finn. Does Finn finally climb to the top and regain his Universal title that he never lost?
I honestly, and this is just me, like going back to what I said earlier, I would give Finn the title at this point. I feel like I would give the title to some people, like The Miz or to Finn, and just see what they can do with it, right? Like, and the thing is they're there every week, right? And you can build some great stuff with those two guys. You can build great stuff with a lot of great guys, but nowadays, you know, I get it. Braun's a pull. People will go see Braun, but not Brock. Sorry,
yeah.
People will go see Brock. But I just feel like with one belt out of the picture, it limits the type of storylines you can build overall, right? Braun should come back every once in a while, do a stint of like 6 weeks, do some damage, disappear, do his own thing for a couple months, then come back and for the SummerSlam push, disappear for 6 months, and that's essentially what he's been doing. But I don't think keeping the belt on him and keeping it on him, I think you're almost wasting the opportunity to build storylines around that belt, right?
Because
now you're like, oh, it's Brock versus somebody, right? And you're never... I haven't been excited about a Brock match in a little while now, you know what I mean? And even if I am excited, it's more like, oh, that might be cool, right?
Yeah.
I'm not like, oh my goodness, I have to see this match, right?
Yeah,
I don't know. Hopefully Finn wins. I would love if the WWE did that, made that... Because it's also a little bit of scary, right? Because they're not sure... But I would do it. And no doubt, if I had a chance to put the belt on Miz or Finn, do it. I would.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. No, I ultimately think Brock will retain here, but I absolutely agree. What's it going to hurt your company? Your company is already in a spot where you're like, I don't know what the future has for you. But if you take a chance, why not?
Yeah.
What's the worst that can happen?
Like, you know, we've talked this to death now, and hopefully I'm not, but, like, we've talked about this where... Like, imagine in the Attitude Era, the Heartbreak Kid said, hey, I'm not giving up, you know, my main event spots to Stone Cold, right? Like, imagine how different the... Or imagine Stone Cold started getting his, Austin 316 just said, you know what I mean, right?
Yeah.
And imagine that happened, and then the WWE immediately just said, well, let's face him off against, JBL, like early JBL that nobody cares about. Let's face him off against like
Midian.
D'Lo Brown and and then you know for 6 weeks all of a sudden the Austin 316 stuff, it just doesn't matter anymore. And I feel like that's what WWE does, and like it bothers me. I feel like give these guys the belt and see what they can do with it. Go ahead.
You're never gonna know what these guys can do until they have the title. You'll never know what main event talent you have until you put them in the main event.
Yeah.
You gotta throw them in there and try them out. You didn't know what Randy Orton was gonna be until you tried him on the main event.
Yeah.
You knew, then you're like, oh, we pushed him too soon, let's kind of pull back, and then we'll go deep into Orton later on.
Yeah.
You didn't know what Cena would be until he beat JBL.
Yeah.
You didn't know what these guys were gonna do until they did it. So it's time to just go, you know what? Screw it. Seth, Finn, Miz, let's see what you guys can do at the top.
Just build this unpredictability in the title matches, right? Like if you have six guys going for the belt simultaneously, all of a sudden you're like, who's gonna win it, right? And just imagine the dynamic thing if every week you weren't sure, like if Seth, if Dean, if Drew, if The Miz, if all of these guys had a legit chance to win the belt every week or every other week or every, you know, whatever, right? All of a sudden, people are tuning in. They're like, we want to see this, right? And you know, just add that unpredictability because people at this point, like, we knew it was going to be Brock versus somebody 14 months ago. And in all honesty, if nothing else changes, I know what's going to be happening at Royal Rumble with Brock 14 months from now. It's going to be Brock versus somebody for the belt, right? And I hopefully that isn't the case, but the way the WWE books Brock, that may be the case. And it's crazy. I can look into the future months in advance, years in advance almost. Like, if you were sitting there in 2015 and I made said, in 3 or 4 years, Brock will still be, will have this belt, and they'll still be doing it every single Royal Rumble, WrestleMania, and it's like, yeah, man, it's just, add that predictability, you build a division worth watching, right? A singles division worth watching.
And that's what you need to do. And speaking of singles, we have the two biggest matches that will decide who goes on to headline WrestleMania. Because winning the Rumble means you get a title match. It doesn't mean you get to headline WrestleMania. So let's start off with the women. There's so much to dissect with the Rumble, so I'm going to keep it really simple. Who do you think has the best chance of winning?
I'm not sure. I'm looking at a list right now.
Sonya Deville?
Yeah. Maybe.
I think I like Sonya Deville.
You see, this is another thing too. Add the predictability. I would, you know what? I would have Bayley win it.
Yeah.
I'm not joking, actually. I would have Sasha win, and then Bayley win it, and then you have them two face off. All of a sudden, you're like, oh my goodness, and they're like, we're best friends, and then one turns heel. Bayley turns super heel, and breaks her leg.
just go all in. No, that's not a bad idea. That's not a bad idea. I think if I'm gonna pick anyone, I think it's gonna be Charlotte.
Yeah.
Or it's gonna be a Charlotte Becky, Luger Brett finish. That'll get them to their Mania main event that they so desperately want.
Honestly, if I were booking the Royal Rumble, I'd have a Luger Brett finish every year. Batista did that once, right? Remember when that happened?
Yeah, and they did it better. Like it was an accident, and it was done so well.
Well, it was an actual accident, though, right?
Yeah.
But see, that's another thing too, is when a situation like that happens, WWE should be like, wow, this is crazy. Well, let's book them, right? Let's book them for, let's book them for Elimination Chamber, right?
It would be really easy. You have the two of them face off because you know you have that No Mercy pay-per-view in the middle, No Mercy Elimination Chamber. You do that, and then you just you cash in on this accident, and you're like, well, this is something that we can use down the line. Yeah. This is smart to have. But I ultimately think Becky and Charlotte are going to have that finish, and then that'll be the end of it. And then that for some reason they don't want to do the Becky Ronda solo match at Mania, which I think is a mistake.
Yeah,
I think it should be the two of them. And I think that should be the main event of WrestleMania, but they won't do it.
Yeah,
and it's a shame that they won't do that. No knock on Charlotte. I think Charlotte's a tremendous talent. I just think it's time. If you're going to have the first women headline Mania, should be a singles match. It shouldn't be a triple threat.
Yeah, I agree. Alexa Bliss, do you think she might...
She could. I mean, she got a reaction when she announced she was back. People thought she was done when they announced that she was going to do it, and that got a big reaction.
And like, Ruby Riott as well. Like, there's some... And as I said, the one thing that WWE has run really well is built this women's division, and there are some, like... You know, for every
Nia.
Yeah, for every Sarah Logan, there's somebody there who's like, hey, we can push this person, right?
Yeah. Ember Moon is someone that they could absolutely.
Yeah, yeah.
I love her finish. I think she is a tremendous finisher, and I think that you could easily build her up.
I would go for the all black Ember Moon, Nia. I can't think of anybody else to be 100% honest.
Naomi.
Oh, Naomi, yes. And just like Liv Morgan or something.
It's crazy how we've gone through this twice now with the all black Final Four, and how thin they are in diversity and right. WWE, and that's the crazy thing.
They keep making this joke about R-Truth, but I honestly think they should just go all in with it, where R-Truth does it. Instead of Carmella coming out 30th, it should just be R-Truth.
You know, I think, my bad, and then heads to the back. And it's just one of those little things that is such an easy little thing to do that will sports entertain people.
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, you can make it a big joke as well, right? Like, he walks out, and then...
Then he wins the men's Royal Rumble.
he comes out. I keep making a joke about the all black finish, but in all honesty, it'd be pretty cool if they did ever do something like that. I just don't think they have enough non-white talent to make it worthwhile or something. You know what I mean? I'm not sure. I just how it is, I guess.
Yeah, it's weird because you'd think as time gone, they would diversify their roster more and more, yet they somehow haven't and stayed status quo. And, like, I think you're missing out on an opportunity there. I think you're absolutely missing out on an opportunity. Like, you look at Into the Spider-Verse.
Yeah.
And look at how big and popular Miles Morales, a character like Miles, is.
Yeah.
You know, you get into the point where, Black Panther was nominated for an Oscar this year. It's just little things that you're like, maybe we need to start changing how we do things in this company. But... Men's Royal Rumble. I have no idea who's going to win, so I'm going to stick with the guy that I've been picking for the last little bit, and that is Seth Rollins will go on and challenge Brock for the title.
Oh, Alicia Fox. That, there's your Final Four. But anyways, Seth Rollins. He's kind of, after Roman left, there was this like vacuum, and Seth Rollins kind of just naturally rolled into it, to be 100%. I don't think anybody pushed him or whatever. I think people were just like, you know, there was this big Roman sized gap in there, and they said, well, we need somebody then there, and he slipped in there just as well. He could win it. I think he could win it. Drew could win it. There's a couple guys who you can kind of build the storyline from.
You know who could win it? We could have Finn lose and then come out as the demon, and then just goes on a tear, and then it's the demon versus Brock at Mania.
Yeah, oh no, I can see that. Yes, the you know who else?
Who?
X-Pac. The surprise entrance, X-Pac.
Just goes on challenge Brock. X-Pac versus Brock Lesnar.
X-Factor versus Brock. There you go. That's how you build it.
I think that's where we end this one, is leaving that with everyone in mind of X-Pac being the number one contender for the Universal title against Brock Lesnar.
I'm telling you, X-Pac is going to come in as a surprise entrance. Mark my words right now.
All right, your words are marked. They're recorded. They're forever recorded, Doug.
Sorry, you know, as this thing goes on, you can tell I get just tired because I just start trolling people for some reason. But yeah, no, this has all been pretty good. Yeah,
I thought this has been good. Thank you for coming on. Hopefully, we can keep this kind of going again and get you popping by and talking wrestling. Maybe talk about a few other things in the world. But for now, we'll stick with wrestling. Any last thoughts, Doug? As I almost nervously hand you this microphone.
No, I don't want to say anything except, actually, you know what? Titus won it all. I'm sorry. Okay, no, I'm done. Okay.
So Titus Worldwide Universal Champion one day. That Doug's calling it. But thank you all for listening, and we will be back with more podcasts.
Goodbye. And good. Night. Bang!